And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Language and words. It's fascinating to study how and where words come from. In politics of late, there's been some great new words, like Watergate, which became the root for other political quagmires like Monica Gate, now Plain Gate. Well, today, we're looking for the new word to describe what's happening in the Department of the Interior, where high-level staffers have been ripping out the guts of government regulations to make life good for their cronies. So, we're on the quest for the new blah, blah, blah gate. Come on along as your voice of the earth investigates the recent mess at Interior. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Welcome to another summer edition of the Wild Side News. You know, there's a great irony in doing this show about nature and the environment. I'm a naturalist and an educator, and if I had my druthers, I'd spend most of my time talking about great trail adventures. I'd focus a lot more, as I used to, on national parks. I'd do more shows on journaling, hear from poets, and inspiring natural history authors. I do all of this, but it has to be balanced with the stories that seem to be making the news these days. I'm forced to deal with other issues, like global warming or climate change, the disappearance of bees, amphibians, fish, and whales. We need to keep abreast of the relentless taking and ransacking of our lands and seashores and forests and mountains. It's more like being a war correspondent. Unfortunately, we have a uniquely unqualified team of professional ransackers running this government. And unfortunately, as their eight-year reign appears to be ending in a broken nation, which is what generally happens to things that are ransacked, some of the truth about the players and their process is coming to light. And the more light that shines, the darker things appear. Today, we're covering a most recent nature-specific story, as we take a look at Julie McDonald, until recently, the decision-maker within the Department of the Interior regarding the future of the Endangered Species Program administered within the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. By now, although the story is sordid in its details, it is, in fact, business as usual within the realms of the ransacking crew. The ongoing distortion of facts, the willful rewriting of science, which we've heard in various forms for many years now, could affect the goodwill of the American people who wisely and boldly established the Environmental Protection Agency, the Wilderness Act, the Endangered Species Act to protect our common good. To be blunt, the ransackers have been ripping out the very heart of the American will as they shredded the long-sought protections established through hard-fought legislation. We are no longer a nation of laws, apparently to the current managers. We are a nation of clams. No straight answers about anything seems to be the operational mantra. So today, we follow the paths through the many gates, from Watergate to Monica Gate and Plain Gate, to our newest pinnacle of deceit and usher in, Obfuscate. But first, the Weekly Earth Summit. Welcome to the Weekly Earth Summit, the most important 15 minutes on Earth. This is Sydney Wildsmith, your host for the summer edition of the Weekly Earth Summit. People are traveling the globe to get things done, and although it may take some time to see the effects, the truth is, we are beginning to see that 100th monkey somewhere up ahead. This week, we hear some of the good news. We start today's summit with a report from one of our regular conveners, who had to call in his report from a hotel room in Paris. Poor guy. But we're glad as always to hear from Conservation International's Robin Moore. Dr. Moore?
This week sees the release of the Amphibian Conservation Action Plan, published by the World Conservation Union. This action plan is the outcome of a summit that was convened in Washington, D.C. in September 2005. This summit brought together around 80 of the world's leading experts in amphibian conservation and research to develop a strategic, unified global strategy to combat amphibian declines and extinction. The plan focuses around a number of themes, including habitat protection, reintroductions, capture programs, disease, and climate change. It outlines actions that are required to stem the global extinction and declines of amphibians around the world over the next 5 years, and comes with an associated budget of $400 million. The Amphibian Specialist Group is leading the efforts to implement the action plan, and also to raise the funds necessary to do so. You can download a free copy of the action plan at www.amphibians.org, and also contact the Amphibian Specialist Group if you're interested in learning more or willing to help.
Thanks, Dr. Moore. Dr. Mark Beckhoff travels the globe as well to expand the awareness amongst his peers that animals are much more conscious than many scientists are capable of acknowledging. He brings us some hope-filled observations. Dr. Beckhoff?
I was just in Tasmania at a lovely meeting on animals and society. I got to meet a whole lot of really wonderful people from that part of the world, from Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, Japan, China, and places like that. And as I travel around the world, and you know, it's especially related to your mission, I just meet the most amazing people. I just meet people who are just working their backsides off, if you will, for animals and for Earth, and they're tireless. You know, here in the United States, we have a lot of problems, but we work in a fairly, you know, easy place to work and to be a radical. But in certain countries, third world countries, when you're on the fringes, I mean, you're fighting the government and you're taking on issues about environment and animals that could result in your being killed. So I've been just meeting these really high energy, wonderful optimists like me who just really see the dreams.
Thanks, Dr. Beckhoff. And in this summer edition of the Weekly Earth Summit, we close with a fascinating new perspective on the state of the ark, as we can know it from the preeminent mind of Dr. Charles Kennel. Dr. Kennel.
I would call this second generation solutions. The first generation of solutions have been thought up and have been in the advocacy literature for about 20 years. And they are simple things that are now beginning to happen. For a long time now, people are advocating going to hybrid cars. Well, now some people are building them, and some people are making them attractive to consumers. Something that you hear on the radio all the time now here in Southern California is that global warming is not only a fact, but it's an opportunity, and you need now to think about things like replacing your incandescent bulbs with fluorescent bulbs, which use about a fifth the energy. And so there are some simple things that we can do, that we all know how to do, that we should do. Change our lighting, insulate our houses, buy a more modern refrigerator. All of these things will help. But at the end of the day, those are just the first steps. We need to do them, but we're going to find after 10 years when we've done them that we've still got a problem. And so, and it's in the 10-year horizon that the scientists and the engineers have to think, or the 20-year horizon, because we really need to transform the way we do much of our commerce and our business and our engineering. And so now, in this particular area, the engineers are saying, well, what we need to engineer is a worldwide information network that will give us continuous awareness of the state of our environment so that we'll always know what's going on and we'll make fewer mistakes in our decisions. But it's got to be a global thing. It's got to be a Google for the environment with all sorts of key information that's easy for people to understand, reliable, up-to-date, and addresses their problems, not just the problems that scientists want to see addressed, which are very important and will always provide the basis but also the problems that people have. And so that gets you into a totally different kind of information network that uses spacecraft and sensor nets and stream gauges and measures the snow and the snowpack and the green color of the ocean to know where all the chlorophyll-bearing plants are. That we all know how to do, but now it's time to tie it all together, make it useful to people, and the system engineers are going to play a role in that.
Thanks, Dr. Kennel. So many people ready to take on the challenges of trying to save life on Earth, while others in power wrangle, slither, and creep through the regulatory organs of society to rewire the fine balance of power so well crafted as the U.S. Constitution. Coming up, we join the scandalmongers of media as we look at the emerging obfuscate affair as it hits now the Department of Interior when your voice of the Earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.